Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Everything's continuing to go on as well as can be expected. God's in charge, so we had a whopping 3 baptisms last Sunday. So it's getting us approaching close to 800 for the year. As long as we can continue to do what the Lord said we're going to do, I know that's going to continue to grow. ask y'all to continue to pray for us, and that we can break the 20,000 mark by this time
Amen.
Next year.
Isn't that wonderful? 20,000 baptisms since Eddie started his ministry. 1998 it was that he started his ministry. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're an all-volunteer inner-city congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole wide world and feeding the poor. We feed about 3,000 meals a week to the poor and homeless. We have 21 international radio broadcasts and 6 national radio broadcasts. And so I want to give you a little report on our works here this morning. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." We've got a picture of that back in the back by the water cooler. "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So you ought to be able to know preachers. You ought to be able to know works. You ought to be able to know ministries by their fruits. Why do we teach such an advanced Bible study? I have been asked many, many times. The reason we do it, because we're the only one that can do it. No other preacher could get away with preaching 53 to 55 minutes. I'm the only one that can get away with that. That's part of my job, being a preacher here. It's part of the deal that we would set a vision to be able to preach to the entire world. You can't preach to the world in 15 minutes. You can't convert somebody in 15 minutes. So we've always had the policy here that if you don't want Bible study, you need to go on down the road. You're at the wrong church. It's the principle of going the extra mile, mountain moving faith, and applied faith. Jesus pronounced a divine curse upon the religion of Israel over their ceremonialism, their formalism, their ritualism, and their worship. And so in Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 20, we see the results of the parable of the withered fig tree. "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith to him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus said unto him, Have faith in God, the missing figs of Israel." Jesus came to examine the fruit of the covenant. He examined a fig tree, which is a metaphor for Israel, and no figs on it, but it had leaves. It was a counterfeit fig tree. Leaves are supposed to be a sign of fruit. There was no fruit. And so the missing fruit of Israel was have faith in God. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wherefore I say unto you that whatsoever things ye desire and ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." So the half faith in God, the missing figs of Israel, I want to encourage you to continue to always have faith in God. Where is God at? How do we know where God's at? God's where wonderful things are being done with nothing. And that's exactly what we have here at the Main Street Church of Christ. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the subsistence, the platform." Faith is the platform that everything else is built on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and if real Bible faith is there, there'll be evidence of it. There'll be evidence of things not seen. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We also want to announce to those of you listeners in North Texas that we will be on 1630 at 11 o'clock. Preaching the gospel to all the world is a wonderful opportunity. 21 international radio broadcasts. I was trying to figure this past week and making a list for William, because William ought to have a list, and the new people coming on here ought to have a list of what we pay for each radio station, the contracts that we have with them, negotiations that we've gone through with them. So I made a list of radio stations, and each one of those radio stations had been bought by an individual. There's individuals that are sitting in this room right now that have approached me and said, I want to pay for a broadcast to Europe. Well, a broadcast to Europe costs about $100 a week. It's Europe through Russia. You get all the Middle East and all of North Africa. Some people in this room right now today have approached me and said, I want to pray for a radio broadcast to Africa. And so their broadcast on three stations going to Africa costs $75 a week. That's $300 a month. And then we also get to add to that China. And so for $100 a week, you can get Russia, China, and all the Pacific. So I was trying to figure out who paid for what and so forth, and I remembered David numbering the people who got himself in trouble with God. And I said, oop, I'm not going to do that. It's working just fine the way that it's going. Why would I mess up something as if I'm doing it? I'm not doing it. It's all of this. God is doing that. And so we want to give credit to nobody but Him. God is doing all of this, and He's the one that makes this stuff possible. So if any of you would like out there in the radio audience to partner with us, we have decided that, I talked to the trustees this morning, that any gift of $300 or $400, we're going to consider you wanting it to go strictly to radio to all the world, and that's what those funds are going to be used for. So you can make a check out, you can write Africa on it, or you can send PayPal, and we'll know by that amount of money that that's what you want that to go for. Feeding the Poor has been a great ministry here. Larry, our kitchen manager, has been doing this for 11 years. Larry's been sober and has been feeding the poor back here. And Fred and Vicky, Fred runs our van and Vicky's our secretary. And all of these people here work. They're all volunteers and they're all here for nothing. We want to again encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. I looked this morning and we've had 165,000 hits this month, and churches are leading the way for the first time. 2,000 churches have come to our website downloading lessons, and I can tell they're downloading written lessons. They're not downloading sermons. I can tell that by K-Bytes. I want to encourage you to also tune in 16:30 a.m. radio. We're going to be studying a little this morning the Great Commission. We read last week John's account of it, found in John 20, verse 19 through 23. We're going to pick up and read there this morning. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. And to them whosoever sins are you retained, they are retained to them. How does that happen? These people weren't given the authority to just go out and forgive sins or retain sins to people. Jesus is telling them, if you get the job done, if you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, you'll get a lot of people saved. If you don't get the job done, a lot of people won't be saved. We're in that same, very same boat today, because this gospel has been given to earthen vessels, to us. And so we have this opportunity now to take the gospel to the whole wide world by the miracle of radio, and we are doing exactly that. Seven times do we broadcast to Africa every week. Seven times do we broadcast to China every week. Three times do we broadcast to Europe and Russia. How wonderful it is. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to be sure and tune in 16:30. On Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre, and at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. So this was a big rolling stone that they were worried about, whether they would be able to roll it away from the door of the grave.
Verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and were affrighted. Luke refers to that, as we studied last week, as being angels. Verse 6. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted, for ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him, as he said unto you. Now he had also said back in this Gospel of Mark that he was going to go before them and meet them after his crucifixion in Galilee. Verse 8. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, and neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Mark has had this entire book. If you study the book of Mark, it's positive. Everything is positive. Jesus is the Son of God. He's doing great miracles. He's doing great wonders. He's doing great signs. He's overcoming everything. And now, abruptly, you'll see in most modern translations of the Bible, it ends at verse 8, and they say that the best manuscripts don't have the rest of the chapter. And so I want to talk to you a little bit technically about that and how we know that the ending of the Gospel of Mark is truly Scripture. You'll see those of you that have modern translations, it'll say that the following verses, verse 9 through 20, are not found in the oldest and best Greek manuscripts. There are three great Uncial manuscripts that come to us. The Codex Vaticanus, the Codex Sinaiticus, and the Codex Alexandrius. These codexes are all from about the year 325. They all are written in Koine Greek. And these manuscripts, you've got to understand now that Christianity was against the law. It was against the law to be a Christian. It was against the law to go to church. It was against the law to have a Bible. If you were caught with a Bible, they'd stick your feet in the fire and they would burn your feet in the fire until you told everybody that you knew who was a Christian and everybody who had a Bible and everybody who was a deacon and everybody who was an elder and everybody who's a Christian. Everybody, you'd have to squeal on everybody, or they'd just burn you alive, feed you the lions, chop your head off, do all manner of terrorism against you for 300 years. It's an absolute miracle that any Bibles at all survive. But Christianity conquered the ancient world because of the truth of the teaching of Christianity. Now, when the writer was making the Codex Vaticanus, when he came down to verse 8, he stopped and he left the rest of that page blank, and it was a codex, so the folio, when you folded that page over, that he left the back of it blank, showing that he knew that it had a long ending, that it did not end abruptly with a word of phrase. He had a long ending in his old Latin, and he could read the long ending in his old Latin, but he didn't have the long ending in a Greek manuscript. So he was following the rules of a scribe, and he left that folio blank and jumped then to the next book, the book of Luke, showing that he knew that there was a long ending to the book. He didn't have the long ending himself in Rome when he was making that. Probably the Codex Vaticanus is one of the 50 Bibles that was ordered by Constantine. The Codex Sinaiticus, we know, is probably a translation, another copy of the Codex Vaticanus. Sinaiticus is just a copy of Vaticanus. Codex Alexandrius was found in Alexandrius in Egypt. There are two other manuscripts that give a different ending. One, a real short ending, and they went everywhere and preached the gospel to everybody with signs following. And then another is obviously a scribal gloss that is not scripture. And so out of these great Uncial manuscripts, we have two manuscripts that don't have the long ending. But we have 5,746 manuscripts that do have the long ending. 5,746 manuscripts that have the long ending. Now, the church fathers were people who wrote in the second century. In the first century, there was Jesus and the apostles. In the second century is the first generation of people that they taught. The church fathers wrote to each other and among themselves, And if we lost the entire Bible, we could reconstruct the Bible from the writings of the second century church fathers. One of these people is Justin Martyr, who was on the way to Rome to be executed in about the year 150, and he quotes four times this long ending. Now, the Codex Vaticanus is from the year 325, but Justin Martyr's writing in the year 150, and he knew about it. Clement of Rome, writing in the year 90, quotes from a long ending. Nothing is taught in this ending that's not taught somewhere else in Scripture. This is obviously Scripture, and it has come under attack in modern day. And could it be possibly because the preaching of the gospel to the whole wide world and baptism for the remission of sins is so clearly taught in these verses? I think that that's one of the reasons that those people in their prejudice reject the long ending of the gospel of Mark. Mark 16, verse 9, now that you've gone on that little trip around the world. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And also tune us in 1630 AM radio here in North Texas at 11 o'clock. And if you want to partner with us in this preaching the gospel to the whole wide world, you just contact us. We'd love to talk with you about it. Mark 16, verse 9. But when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. How do we know that that's true? Well, John chapter 20, verse 1, I just read it to you. That tells us about that. So here verse 9 is covered in another scripture. Out of whom he had cast 11 devils. Verse 10, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And so we see those very words are used in John 18, verse 20, that they mourned and wept. In verse 11, and when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. And this is proof that the disciples didn't invent the story of the resurrection of Christ because they didn't expect Jesus' resurrection. Verse 12, and after he had appeared in another form to the two of them as they walked and went into the country. So here we see that he appeared in another form. They didn't recognize him, the two men from Emmaus, and we read the story of that in Luke 24, verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So here again is a proof verse, Luke proving that the events found in Mark are scripture and teaching the very same thing that Mark is teaching. And after he appeared in another form to the two of them as they walked and went into the country. And so Luke 24, verse 15, 16 confirms that. Verse 13, and they went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them. Again, we see that the apostles and the people who knew Jesus the best were not the first witnesses, and they really didn't believe. And he had been telling them for 3 years that he was going to be crucified of the rulers and rise from the dead. And they thought that he was just teaching a parable to them. Verse 14, and after he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now I want to talk to you about the same thing that I talked to Manuel about this morning out in the lobby. How to read. Let's look at this verse 14. And after he appeared unto the 11, see that word they? That's called an antecedent. And antecedents always refer back to the last name noun. So the they is the 11. So let's call this home base. The 11 is home base. No matter how far down the page the they and the thems go, it's always referring back to home base, to the 11. That's simply the way that you read. That's the way that you learn to read. And I'm going to teach you to read the Bible way. And after he appeared unto the 11, the apostles, as they, the apostles, sat at meat and upbraided them, the apostles, with their unbelief and hardness of heart. And it just got through telling us that they didn't believe. They didn't believe Mary when she came and reported it to them. Because they, the apostles, believed not them which had seen him after he had risen, the women. So they didn't believe him, and he upbraids them for their hardness of heart. verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. That's the scope of the Great Commission, and preach the gospel to every creature. If the extent of this taking the gospel to all the world has got to be every creature. Every creature has a right to hear. Every creature, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Verse 16. He that believeth, anybody, not they, not them, anybody, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Because he doesn't believe, he didn't go on and get baptized, so he's going to be lost. Those people who do not believe are not going to go on and take the next step of being baptized. And so if you don't believe in the first place, why get baptized? They'll all be lost. And these signs shall follow them. There it goes again. There it goes again. Them. Who is that? The 11. It's not talking about everybody. That's how people become confused today and think that they can work all these miracles and all these wonders and all these signs. They become confused, and you don't have the power of an apostle. It's okay to have less power than an apostle. It's okay to have less authority than an apostle. I'm not an apostle. You're not an apostle. It's okay. It's all in God's plan. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them, the apostles, that believe. They're in the process of believing. He upbraided them for their hardness of heart because they didn't believe. Now they're in the process of becoming believers, shall follow them that believe. As you, the apostles, become to believe, in my name, they, the apostles, shall cast out devils. They, the apostles, shall speak with new tongues, and they did. And then they asked Jesus to expand that and let the church do miracles too, which God did. These signs shall follow them, the apostles that believe. In my name, they, the apostles, shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents. It's just a metaphor. And if they drink any deadly thing. This is the only thing in verse 9 through 20 that I can't find another verse in the Bible telling us about it. And that is poison. Nowhere else in the New Testament does it tell us about the apostles drinking poison and it not hurt them. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. This isn't a promise like we go pray for the sick. I went and prayed for little Fred the other day. Well, he's not recovered. He still needs dialysis. He's got to have a dialysis, but maybe he's better. It's okay to pray that God heals somebody. God can heal anybody he wants to. But I don't have the power of healing. In other words, what we're telling you is that we in the churches of Christ, we believe in healing. We just don't believe in healers. And how does somebody get healed? Well, we pray, dear Lord, please spare this poor soul. Please spare Reuben, who's sick. Please spare somebody, you know, somebody that's sick. Please spare poor Pam Squires that's got heart trouble. You guys prayed for me when I was in hospital and had my heart surgery. You guys came to see me. Every one of you I asked, I said, pray for me. And all of you said, okay. And I said, no, now, pray for me. Pray for me. And I'm telling you now, there's nothing more wonderful for a preacher to hear his sheep begging God to spare him. It was the greatest time of my life. I'll always thank you. I'll always thank you, man. It was a wonderful thing. And God granted that in 2009, and he's given me 8 more years of life since then. And so isn't that wonderful? And so God can spare anybody he wants to. Verse 18, and they shall take up serpents, just a metaphor for that old devil, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. The apostles could heal people in a greater sense than we've never believed or never even dreamed of. Now look at that first clause, they shall take up serpents. In Revelation 12:9, it says, and a great dragon which was cast out, who is he? That old serpent called the devil, Satan, Slewfoot, which deceives the whole world, was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so now we have an eternal struggle that's being talked about here and being alluded to here that is the story of the entire Bible. from Genesis 3:15 through the entire Bible. It's a story of the entire Bible, the story of how the seed of a woman was going to come and walk all over the devil, trample all over the devil. In Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee," between the serpent and the woman, "and between thy seed and her seed," child. One child is coming, the Messiah is coming, and I put enmity and strife and division between you and the serpent, between the Messiah and the serpent, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. See that it? It's going to become the church, is what it means in the future. Let's go to Psalms 91. We see a prophecy of Christ 1,000 years before it happens. Psalms 91, verse 11. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder," the adder was a snake, "and the young lion and a dragon shall thou trample under feet." When the devil read that, it got his attention. The devil knows the Bible better than you and I know the Bible. His whole future depends on that Bible. He knows all about that Bible. And the devil read that, and it got his attention because he remembered what God told him back there in the Garden of Eden, that the seed of the woman was going to come and walk all over the snake. And here this verse says that this, whoever this is going to walk on the dragon and trample the dragon under feet. And so in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, at the temptation of Jesus, the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Now he quotes to him Psalms 91. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. And he said unto them, Behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power," the 70 now, he's giving them power, "to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, Paul takes that same metaphor now and applies it to the church. "And a God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." So we are going to trample on the devil. How are we going to trample on him? Every time we overcome sin, every time we're tempted to sin, we trample on the devil. We walk on the devil. We're tempted to use drugs, and we don't. We walk on the devil. We're tempted to fornicate. We don't. We walk on the devil. All manner of sin, whenever we overcome this, we walk upon the devil. And I want to encourage you to walk on them snakes and don't be subject to them. Verse 19. "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God." And he's seated up there right now doing the work of a great high priest. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we have not a great high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in every way that we were tempted, and he never sinned. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Whenever you're bad, come boldly to the throne of grace. Whenever you've done wrong, come boldly to the throne of grace. Whenever you've sinned, whenever you've goofed, come boldly to the throne of grace and repent. And tell God, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Repent. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." But of course, if you don't repent, then you perish. So it's the carrot of the stick for all of us, brother. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Be sure and tune us in at 1630 AM radio. We're on there at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. And they went forth and preached everywhere. What do you think everywhere means? It means somewhere. It means everywhere. They went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The New Testament teaches that these men followed orders. They did what they were supposed to do. They took the gospel and they went everywhere. They went to all the known world. Even the people on the day of Pentecost that were converted. There are 16 different dialects that are used there. Those people went everywhere and told everybody about Jesus. Throughout the whole world, the gospel was proclaimed. And we're doing that right now today with 21 international radio broadcasts. Well, if we don't do it, who will? And if not us, who? And if not now, when? So now's the time that we need to take a look at this world. You know, the world is plumb full of people. There's 7 billion people on earth today. 7 billion people. You see, when we broadcast to Africa, we're really broadcasting to 1 billion souls. When we broadcast to Europe, we're really broadcasting to 1 billion souls from Europe through Russia. A vast majority of the people who come to our websites, we've got 87 countries as of this morning that's come to our website. A vast majority of those are from the European nations and many of the Pacific nations. And we get a lot from Africa, but you got to realize that Africa doesn't have a whole lot of internet connection. We have an opportunity today like has not been in the world since the first century. All of the world, the educated world, speaks a little bit of English, and so it gives us an opportunity to communicate with the educated people of the entire world. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, we see again that same concept of the gospel going everywhere. Romans 1, 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What do you think that means? Well, it means what it says. It means throughout the whole wide world. You hear people all the time saying, oh, the gospel's got to be preached to the whole world and then the end can come. The gospel has already been preached to the whole wide world. We preach the gospel to the whole wide world. Nothing else has to happen before the end to come. I took a lot of heat about that from people. I got a lot of phone calls over our message about the second coming of Christ a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know how people can't understand it. John chapter 6, verse 40 says plainly, and I will raise him up at the last day. It says that plainly, doesn't it? And I will raise him up at the last day. So when's the resurrection? It's the last day. Now, a lot of people have got a teaching called the teaching of the rapture, and they teach 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What day is that? It's the last day. It can't be any other day because it's the resurrection. It's the time of the resurrection, so it's the last day. It's not 7 years of tribulation in front of the last day. It is the last day. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, guys. There's not going to be any rapture. There's not going to be any catching away. There's not going to be any of that stuff. It is a false teaching. I know that those people have good intentions, but they're wrong. Jesus said plainly, John chapter 6, verse 40, and I will raise him up the last day. The last day is the last day, the day of the resurrection. The gospel has been preached throughout the whole world, he says, Romans 1, 8. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we get the same thing. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall we call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? Same thing applies today. How are those people over in Africa going to call on Christ if we don't take the word to them? I mean, only 21% of them can read. They've got to hear the spoken word of God. They got to hear the gospel preached or they'll be lost. And those that can read have got to teach the others. How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, if not us, who? Well, if there's a preacher out there can preach for an hour, if his congregation will let him get away with it, well, he could do that. But there's not many out there that can do that. They're not prepared to preach an hour. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. Here he quotes from Isaiah chapter 52. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report? So how do you know that Isaiah chapter 53 is talking about Jesus? Well, here the Apostle Paul tells us it is. He quotes Isaiah 53:1, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do you get faith? Do you pray, Lord, give me faith? How do you get faith? Faith comes only one way. God's not going to zap you with faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It can't come any other way than the Bible, than by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went, past tense verb, unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now here he quotes from Psalms chapter 19, and he quotes Psalms 19 as a prophecy. So let's go read Psalms 19. God has a beef with you. You ought to know that there was a God because of verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the things down here in the atmosphere, showeth his handiwork. Everything shows that there is a God. All of creation. Just look at the ducks. The kinds of ducks. There's long-legged ducks, medium-legged ducks, short-legged ducks, long-beaked ducks, short-beaked ducks. How did all and all these are ducks? How did all that happen? How in the world did some monkeys decide to become humans and other monkeys decide to stay monkeys? Figure that out for me, will you? Why would they do that? You know, you've heard the story about the little kid goes to his daddy. Daddy said, how did we come about? And he said, we was monkeys and then we rose up and we become humans. And then he goes to mom and said, how did we come about? And he said, Adam and Eve and in the garden and they sinned and so forth. So he goes back to his mom and he said, but daddy says that we come from monkeys. And she said, that's his part of the family, isn't it? Not my part of it. The heavens declare the glory of God, in the firmament the things in the atmosphere showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Everything about the creation of God proves his divine power in Godhead. Everything ought to be speaking to you. All of nature ought to be speaking to you, proving the fact that there is a God. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The gospel went out in the first century when Jesus sent them apostles. It went everywhere. Their line or their teaching has gone throughout all the earth in their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Just as the sun, the planets revolve around the sun, from God's point of view, preaching is a tabernacle that everything revolves around. God wants the word to get out to every human being on earth. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before the word of truth, the gospel, which is, present tense verb, which is coming to you, as it is, present tense verb, happening right now is what is means. It's happening right now. As it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you've heard of it, and knew of the grace of God and truth. That's five times the New Testament and the Old Testament has told us that the gospel went out to the whole world in the first century. Six times, Colossians 1:23. And if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was, past tense verb, preached unto every creature. And that's the very clause that Jesus uses in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, have made a minister. Six times isn't enough? Well, seven times. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For out from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. What does every place mean? Seven times. The New Testament tells us the gospel is already gone out to all the world. In every place, your faith towards God word is spread abroad so that we not need to speak anything. This church in Thessalonica believed the word of God so much that they took it as their business to take the gospel to the whole wide world. And it's our business to do the same thing, because the same thing that we have learned in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul tells Timothy, the things that thou hast learned among me, among faithful witnesses, the same teach thou to faithful men that will be able to teach others also. So we need to go out and teach the same thing, the same gospel, to the entire world. If you'd like to partner with us in that, you just get a hold of us. For $300 a month, you can broadcast to Africa, and $400 a month, you can broadcast to Europe or to China and all the Pacific. We'd like to encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com, and be sure and go to our local radio station. We're on 1630, the AM radio. It's at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. So we see that in Mark 16, verse 20, that they went everywhere preaching the word, and they followed the Great Commission. In Matthew's account of that Great Commission, in Matthew 28:18, there's not any doubt about his account of the Great Commission. There's not any doubt about the ending of the book of Matthew. There's not any doubt about what Matthew has to say here. And he says the same thing that Mark says, only he says it in a shorter form. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. All power, all authority is given to Jesus in heaven and earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. See that word teach? In the Greek, it's mathanuro. It means disciple ye, make a believer out of all nations. Go ye and make believers out of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, after you baptize them, teach them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. So the elements of the Great Commission, we can go over again and look at Mark 16, verse 15 again. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You preach, you announce news. The gospel is good news. And so we're announcing to the world that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. According to what Scriptures? Well, the Old Testament Scriptures like Isaiah 53 and so forth. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, we're told by Paul, now the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, Paul first generation, Timothy second generation, the same, not something new, don't come and think up a new thing, the same thing that you learned from Paul, Timothy, the same commit thou to faithful men, third generation, who shall be able to teach others also, fourth generation. So Paul didn't envision a changing gospel. He envisioned the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ being preached to all the world, to every creature from now on. It is a never-ending work. Won't you be part of that work? Won't you join with Main Street Church of Christ and help us do that work? What is the secret of this thing? Well, the secret is 1 John 5:13. These things that I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know that you're saved. Not just think it, not just hope it. You can take God at his word. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Lord, let me win the lottery. It's not going to happen. Lord, let me preach the gospel to the whole wide world. Now, that might happen. That's according to his will. So we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So let's ask for things that he wants us to do. Lord, help us feed the hungry and the poor. Lord, help us preach the gospel to the whole wide world. Lord, protect our internet ministry. Lord, protect our jail chaplains. Lord, protect our missionaries. Lord, protect our hospital chaplains. Lord, help the sick in this church. Won't you be a part of this? It's simple to do. All you got to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Put your faith and trust and confidence Amen. In God to save you. Repent of your sins. Be sorry for your sins. March right down to the front down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be baptized into Christ. Have all your sins washed away and rise to walk in newness of life. If you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123, and you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.